The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
On Monday, the state of Texas filed a motion asking for permission to sue Pennsylvania, Georgia, Michigan, and Wisconsin to protect the integrity of the 2020 election. We've heard that other states would be joining us this suit. Yesterday, 17 states urged the U.S. Supreme Court to take up Texas's request to challenge this. Many of you ask, will South Carolina part of that? So I wanted you to hear directly from our Attorney General Alan Wilson. On our guest line this morning, Attorney General Alan Wilson. First off, Mr. Attorney General, I just realized what I said a minute ago when I said I wanted him to hear from directly from the horse's mouth. I'm not calling you a horse.
You know, I was going to make a joke about that. Speaking of horse. And by the way, it's Alan, not Mr. Attorney General.
Thank you for spending a few minutes of your morning with us. Now help me understand the terminology here. I've heard this described in different ways, that South Carolina's joining Texas in the lawsuit, that we're filing a friendly brief. What exactly is our role when I read that 17 other states have joined this?
Okay, so let me go ahead and say this. I will explain that. First off, I wanted to be clear to people that we filed briefs in the Pennsylvania case back in early November, right after the election, due to a lot of the issues involving how the rules were changed and reapplied. We raised a lot of the same issues that were raised in the brief filed by Texas 4 weeks ago, and that brief and the case that it's supporting are currently waiting to be heard by the Supreme Court. So we've already been, South Carolina's already been in at least the fight on front as it relates to the Texas case. And people have to remember the Electoral College meets first next week. So we have a very short turnaround time. So 16 states in South Carolina, we filed what is called an amicus brief. That means friend of the court. Means it's basically when you're not a party, but you support the party's position and you want to educate the court and to encourage the court to tell. It's a way to be part of the case without having to go through the procedural and sometimes lengthy process of getting onto a pleading. And so because the runway is so short, we thought it was easier to turn around an amicus to get on, to at least be on the stage to support the many of the issues being highlighted by Texas. So I tell people South Carolina is in the case as one of the 17 states supporting the issues raised by Texas.
Yeah. Now, the justices, as I understand it, they've asked these four states, Georgia, Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin, to respond by this afternoon. Now, what will that look like? I can't imagine that they're just going to admit that they violated the Constitution. How do you think they will respond, and what's the typical response to something like this?
Well, first off, this is part of the process. When somebody makes an allegation and sues you, you have an opportunity to answer that suit and rebuff the accusation and tell the court what you would like the court to do. They will probably deny that they've done anything wrong and ask the court to throw it in the trash can. And I'm using layperson speak, but that's what they'll do. And they have the right to do that under our court rules. So there's nothing untoward about that or unseemly. They have a right to respond to the briefings that have been placed before the court.
Yeah. What is the goal of the Texas case? Now, you mentioned just a minute ago, of course, next Monday is the day that the electors are to meet to cast their vote. Is there enough time for something to truly happen?
Well, to answer that question, let me frame the issue a little bit, put some meat on the bone for your listeners out there. Understand what we raise. A lot of people, especially on the left, are screaming about there's no evidence of fraud or you can't prove there's fraud, whatever. I said, first off, the briefings, both in Texas and our amicus brief, we're not raising the issue of fraud, because fraud often is almost impossible to prove historically speaking, unless you catch someone in the act. What this is saying is that under our Constitution, under Article 1 and Article 2, for electors and federal office holders, the place, time, and manner of elections are determined by the state legislatures in the respective states to elect a presidential elector or to elect a member of the Senate or Congress. What happened is that leading up to the election, a number of states, they changed the rules that the legislature had implemented and enacted. And they basically, for instance, in Pennsylvania, Secretary of State there said the deadline is 8 p.m. on Election Day. We're going to extend that back a couple of days, 3 days, I believe. And, oh, by the way, we're not even going to require you to postmark the ballot. We're not even going to exclude non-postmark. So basically, people could drop it off 3 days later without a postmark from the 3rd of November. And then they relaxed the signature requirements. And so a lot of the rules that everyone's supposed to follow were relaxed for this one specific election. That is in direct violation of the Electors Clause or the Elections Clauses in the U.S. Constitution under Article 1 and 2. So what we're saying is that you violated the Constitution, okay? And you didn't, and so we're asking the court to basically fix this, and the remedy we're asking for is we're asking the court to, obviously we'd like to see the ballots that were cast that were not lawful to be segregated out and then to count the ballots. Texas's brief goes on to mention we would like to see if you can't have a new election. If you can't have a new election, then go to the prescription for what to do next in the U.S. Constitution, which is to not provide electors and let it be determined in the House of Representatives, which is what the Constitution says. Now, let me say this, Julie, real quick. The best metaphor I've come up with in the short time is because everyone loves football. It's football season. It's the final seconds of the game are running out. The score is tied. One of the team's players runs the ball into the end zone. But there's a significant question as to whether he stepped out inches before the plane of the end zone or you know, got out of bounds and or got a knee on the ground. What we're trying to do is we're saying the stakes are too high. The consequences are too high. Go back and watch the replay and make sure that the rules are being followed to the letter and don't violate the rules to get a predetermined outcome for one team over the other. And if we're on the losing side, so be it, if the rules are followed fairly. But people don't believe the rules are being followed. And to those out there who say we're wasting taxpayer dollars, it has cost the state of South Carolina $0 to join a brief, $0, other than the time it took us to read the thing and to polish it and help edit it. Took us $0 to do this, but when I look at the other side, they spent 3.5 years and tens of millions of dollars questioning the legitimacy of President Trump, claiming that the election was stolen by the Russians, and came up empty-handed. And then they tried to impeach him on a bogus trumped-up charge, no pun intended. So I'm not going to be lectured by the left when it comes to asking a question of law.
Yeah. On our guest line this morning, South Carolina Attorney General Alan Wilson. And you know, you're right. I look back over the past almost 4 years now, and you look at all the things that Donald Trump has accomplished for our country, but then you also think about what he could have done had he not had this dark cloud following him throughout the entire period of his term, because he's been constantly fighting the left. I mean, they started from day one practically with an investigation. So it's just maddening. All right. So, talk with us for just a minute here about the next steps. Obviously, you know, we'll hear what the state's response is this afternoon. Time's running out. Monday's going to be here pretty soon. What are the next steps and what are the possible outcomes?
Well, we're basically awaiting to see what the court does. I mean, once the other side, the defendant states respond, then the court has to make a decision. Obviously, they can accept the pleadings and take the case under advisement, which could possibly result in a stay or an injunction of the college meeting, or they could decline to take it. It's too difficult to tell. I will tell people this, that this is, back to my football analogy, this is, for purposes of time, this is kind of that Doug Flutie pass in what, was it 83, 84 in the Boston College game? Everybody over the age of 40 remembers that. This is that Hail Mary in fourth and seconds. And so, you know, it is really the kind of the end for legal purposes. But I believe that whether you're on the left or whether you're on the right, we need to have, people need to have confidence that whichever team won the game, and I hate to call this a game, but whichever candidate won the election, that it was done under the rules that were applied fairly and evenly. And I don't think people, just like the left doesn't believe Donald Trump was elected legitimately because of the Russia hoax, you know, many people who supported President Trump don't have faith in the system. And that concerns me in Georgia because I'm afraid that Republicans are going to disengage from the electoral process. And that's not good for our democracy.
Well, and I'm glad you brought that up quickly. Your counterpart, Attorney General Chris Carr in Georgia, you know, yesterday the RNC filed suit in Georgia to try to ensure that they follow the rules in this very important January 5th runoff election. What role will he play in Georgia to ensure that happens?
Well, I'm not sure what the laws and the constitutions of Georgia prescribe for the attorney general of that state, because, you know, every AG has a different set of tools in their tool bag based on the state laws. But Chris Carr is a stand-up guy. I know him personally. He's an honorable guy. He's an honest guy. Gotten to know him very well, and I know that he'll do the right thing, and he'll do his best to follow the rule of law.
Yep. Attorney General Alan Wilson, it's always good to catch up with you. Thank you again for your time on this Thursday morning.
Thank you so much, Joey. God bless. Merry Christmas.
God bless.